right, 2 minutes after 10 a.m. at WMFO Medford. Wow, such great stuff in that set. But hang on to that. I'll tell you what I played in just a second, because I want to tell you what's going on today over at the Jungle Community Music Club. You know Brian Young, right? Yeah, Brian's got a show here every Saturday, so today from 1 to 3. But his band called the Thigh Scrapers is playing today with Mad Painter, the Stigmatics, Johnny Plankton, and the Sea Monkeys of Soul. Sorry, I'm laughing with them, not at them. I say that all the time. Ask Laura Lee, she'll tell you. But anyway, Brian let me know that they're playing today, and he's going on at about, what'd you say, Brian, about 6:30? About 6:30, I think, Thigh Scrapers go on. So, again, great show today at Jungle. Thigh Scrapers, Mad Painter, The Stigmatics, Johnny Plankton, and the Sea Monkeys of Soul, all today, later on today. So let me tell you what I played in that last set. Started off with new noise from Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Their brand new album is called Council Skies. That was the title track. Rick Berlin, actually Berlin Airlift. Oh, my goodness. I was just like... I love playing that. 1982's self-titled record that was There's a Girl in the Moon. See, everybody thinks it's a guy, like the man in the moon. Nah, there's a girl in the moon. The Sins, New Jersey's own The Sins, C-Y-N-Z, from 2021's record called Karmic Destiny. That was Judge and Witness. The B-52s from 1980's Wild Planet. That was Give Me Back My Man. They demand that you do that. You must. And finished off that set, rolled up nicely by Boston's own Glowbox, Power Pop Aficionados Beyond. Love that band. Brand new single from their latest album that's coming out, yet to come out, not out yet, but it will. That was Jokes on You. And as Linda Vienne said last week, geez, it's too bad the vocals and the guitars are just so horrible in there, isn't it? It was awful. Love that. Love that, Ben. All right. We've got our guest coming up right after this song. She is Laura Lee, a local singer-songwriter and farmer. We'll get into all that. But I want to play this track from her. This one is called Great Wall of China. And right after this, we'll be back to chat and find out all about Laura Lee. This is WMFO in Medford.
We're not so different, you and I. We both have walls around us, and they're standing at least 10 feet high. And I'm about 5'6", and I know I'm not what you expected. And you're standing 5'10", and entirely too home for protected. And I'm getting tired, and I'm getting anxious, and I'm only human. I'm getting a little curious as to what is on your side. You're the Great Wall of China, and I'm just a picket fence. With a chisel and a pick, trying to break through to you, but you refuse to crumble. No, you won't have a part of it. You know what I'm afraid of heights. And I've tried to stick my fingers and my toes into the nooks and crannies of your stone, just to pick my head over the edge, to see what you've got behind your wall. But every time I climb a little higher, my feet always slip, and I always seem to fall. And I'm just a picket fence. You can see right on through me, and I stand weak in your defense. And I'm working at you with a chisel and a pick, trying to break through to you, but you refuse to crumble. No, you won't have any part. try to take a look around, but you won't let me. Oh no, you won't let your guard on down. So I leave you to the hands of time, the wind and the rain. When I come back 100 years from now, your wall will still stand. You will be the same.
All right, it's 10:08 in the morning. I'm Mike, and this is WMFO Medford. Remember, 11 a.m., something about the women's coming up. Not sure who the female DJ is, but can't wait. We'll find out together. All right, so we have a guest in the studio, and I just played, as I said, a song from her. Let me introduce Laura Lee right here to everybody here at WMFO. Welcome back, you former Tufts student, you.
I know. Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Did you like have deja vu, like driving in here?
Well, I didn't drive back in the day when I went to Tufts, so it was kind of a different experience, but yeah, hasn't changed too much.
Yeah, but this studio wasn't in this state, right, when you were here?
Correct.
Yeah, you were here, what, did you say 16?
I think it might have been 17 or 18 years ago if we really start doing the math, but hey, who's counting?
Nobody likes math.
No.
I certainly don't. Let's not do that. So that was a beautiful track. You said it was recorded at one of the clubs around here, Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that song?
Oh, it was, let's see, a whole lot. So I used to get like pneumonia all the time. Because of the cold weather, and so I started experimenting with double capos. So that was kind of my first song.
Wow.
Yeah, written with that.
I was going to say, I mean, I read that you experimented with different time signatures and different ways of playing and staccato, but I didn't read about the double capos.
Yeah.
Not that I'm any kind of a, but I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. One of the capos only hits 3 strings rather than all 6, and so you can do some fancy guitar work or what looks fancy.
So we actually aim it to only do 3 strings.
Yep. Oh, and wow. So you can play behind the capo, in between the capos. It's really a lot of fun. So that's one of the first songs.
Are you Eddie Van Halen reincarnated? Who are you?
No.
I've never heard of that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. And it makes me look like I know what I'm doing.
You do. So Great Wall of China, what's that track about? How did you come up with that?
Oh, speaking of interesting time signatures, so I actually wrote it about a drummer that I had a huge crush on back in college, and he was the Great Wall of China, and so yeah, that's basically...
So you had a pretty high opinion of this guy.
Yeah, yep.
But
wow.
but he
I hadn't actually thought about that.
But he used to push you away?
Hold
you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, the irony of...
Impenetrable.
Yeah. I think there's a theme in probably a lot of my songs about pushing people away or getting pushed away. That's a whole different... We can get into that
later.
Well,
despite my corncob pipe and my leaning back in my chair, I'm not your psychologist. So you don't have to go on with that, but that's interesting. All right, so let me ask you about a quote that I found that you have at the very tippity-top of your website. Tell me about this. It's "Music washes away from the soul the dust of everyday life." It's by Berthold Auerbach. Tell me about that quote and why it's way tippity-top up there.
Whoa.
And why the microphone just came apart. That's no good.
Wow. I got completely distracted. Wow, it's been so long since... Uh-oh.
Just
oh, guys,
going.
I wish you guys could see this.
Can't be good.
Well, this is a perfect distraction because I don't have a great answer for that first thing in the morning. I guess my coffee's still kicking in. But, that was...
Just keep going.
I'm so distracted right now, y'all. I wish you could see this.
I wish I wasn't experiencing it.
Yeah, no. This is called improvising.
So, can I even do this?
I don't know. I mean...
That was a...
This is a great segue into the next song, right?
I
get some
know.
Duct tape and...
Yeah! Oh my God, you really are good. All right. Hopefully that will actually hold.
Yeah.
What do you think? I have the strength of 10 men, so hopefully
there
I did it tight enough. All right, so keep going. That's ridiculous.
I honestly, for that quote, I did not choose that quote.
Okay.
This is like things I'm not supposed to say, right?
All right.
But I'm a terrible liar, so... Yeah, I had a friend help me put my website together, and we were finding music quotes And that would be the one. And therefore,
But I like it.
It's a great quote.
I mean, you know, being music lovers, you and I.
Yep.
I mean, music washes away the soul, the dust of everyday life. It does. It does so many wonderful things. You've been described in a couple of ways. Let me just mention a couple of things that have been said about you. You're a lively and dynamic performer. So performing is a pretty big deal to you. You take it. You don't just, not like the Cars. You don't just stand there and like sound like your recordings. You perform.
Yeah, I really love performing. I think that's. I first started because I loved playing. I loved writing, and then I got into the performing aspect, and I just love connecting with people. I think live shows are just my favorite part of a lot of this. And yeah.
Okay, and it's been said that you have a crisp and sweet sounding voice.
I'd like to think so.
And I think that what we just played and other things that we'll hear today will sort of support that. And the lyrics, you know, like about an ex-crush that is like a Great Wall of China. Yep. Honest and relatable lyrics.
Yeah.
So I don't know too much about your home life and growing up. I do know that your father is a Texan. Did you grow up in Texas or around here?
I grew up around here, north of the city, and if you had asked me 20 years ago if I'd ever end up back there, I would have laughed at you, and here I am.
Laughed with me.
Yes, laughed with you.
Yeah.
I went to school around here. I started playing music in college. I went to the museum school in Tufts. It was the dual degree program.
Yep.
And then I ended up spending 13 years in Texas. I moved down in 2008. To pursue music and fell into a whole lot of other things while I was down there. I lived in Texas for a long time.
So was your home a musical home? Your parents play a lot of music? How did this whole music thing happen?
My mom used to sing and write. She even used to like come into my kindergarten class and sing songs to our class. And then whenever my dad would go out, she would turn the stereo on really loud and we'd dance around the house. We have fond memories. And then my parents got divorced. But my dad really also enjoyed music and, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and Joni Mitchell and Jimi Hendrix. So I kind of grew up with this like different mix of music.
So you had a stereo that could be turned loud, but what instruments were in the house? Did you have a piano, guitars? What did you have?
My mom played guitar, and that was it. When my parents got divorced, she gave me one of the guitars, and that was kind of how I started playing. But I guess out of the rest of the family, I'm the musical one.
You're the one. So you said you started playing in college?
High school, technically.
Okay.
Did my first open mic when I was 16. And and then I started doing open mics in Cambridge. Was it the Cantab? My first one.
That's back, sort of.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Sort of. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yes. The only thing new about it is the bathroom. We can talk about that later.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I used to sneak into all these bars to play music before I was even 21. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Can I say that on the radio now?
Too late.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, went to the Burren, and then someone was like, you know, you can, like, do this, right? Like, you can just do more than open mics. And the idea to me was, what? Crazy. That's crazy. No, I can't. Mm-hmm. Here I am.
So in high school, were you, like, in the school band?
No.
Anything like that?
No, I wasn't at all. I entered a, what was it? Masco Frolics, like a talent show at the end of the senior year. And I performed one song in front of hundreds of
people.
So
you waited till you were a senior, but you played at home and you listened to music with your mom and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. You didn't take any lessons? You're self-taught?
For the most part, I did. I did take a few guitar lessons from a bass player to learn a certain style, like that kind of percussive bass slapping technique with the thumb. So that's it. I don't know how to read music. So band practice has been interesting lately when I'm like, I don't even know what chord that is.
Well, I mean, you'd be surprised how often I hear that.
So
there were never any ideas of playing the bass, right? Or you just wanted to understand how that style, that percussive staccato style would work.
Yep, exactly.
Because that's certainly your style.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Where did you get the idea for that?
I am a... come on, words.
I'm a masochist.
I remember seeing, I was 16, and my stepmom took me to a show hosted by WERS at Capo's in Lowell, and Ryan Montbleu was playing, and I remember just looking at, like, watching him going, like, just, I don't know if epiphany is the right word, but just, like, that's it. That's what.
Well, that's how it happens.
Yeah, and it clicked, and that was when I took the, you know, the lessons.
Well, you know, we'd mentioned our already before that your playing style is very unique to you, non-traditional time signatures. You know, and certainly you write lyrics that advance the music because you've got very playful, clever lyrics, maybe even a little sassy.
Yes, yeah, sassy's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Ryan. Ryan's from around here.
Yeah.
I know. Who else? Tim Guerin, he's around here.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Love Tim Guerin.
He's great.
Now, Deb Talon and Jesse D, I don't know them. Were they?
Deb Talon, I don't know if she's still playing as much. She had a band called The Weepies with her partner at the time. Yes.
Oh, I know that band. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, yep. And then Jesse D's a local guy. He opened up for Al Green a couple years ago.
Are they still active?
He's played at Atwood's a couple times the last few months. If you know, I don't know his next show, but he's got a voice that can just, I mean, you put him on one side of the room and the mic on the other, and you don't even need the volume. His voice is just phenomenal, very like Sam Cooke reminiscent.
I'm gonna have to listen.
Oh yeah.
So have you ever played with them ever?
No.
Do you know them ever?
Jesse D. We used to go to the same open mics.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about the shows you have coming up, and one's at the bar. And I mean, that'd be a great place for you to like put that bill together. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that show. It's my goal to. I just moved back 2 years ago, and then I spent a year in hiding when I was back. And so I'm just getting back out there.
All right. So let's talk about these kind of moves that you made. I've got a couple of key dates in your life. 2005 was when you started your infatuation with the Kerrville Folk Festival in Texas.
Right.
That's an 18-day festival,
yeah.
Folks.
Yep.
Explain how 18 days? I mean, I know things are done big in Texas, but really, a festival, it's 18 days.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Oh.
Tell us how that works.
So I, my friend Hugh McGowan, who used to run the Burrito.
Yeah. Oh, rest in peace, man.
Yeah, rest in peace, Hugh. He was like, hey, you got to check out this festival. We got to go. I was like, yeah, sure. And, you know,
had you heard of it, or
never,
you just? I know that you loved Hugh like many, but so you just sort of took his word and said, "Yeah,
let's do it."
Because your father was from Texas, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Huh. We packed up his Jeep Cherokee. We drove cross country in 36 hours, and then set up tents. And it was eight. It's so basically, in a nutshell, you go see, you know, the shows at night on the main stages, and then you suit up with your guitar and you play music all night around campfires, amongst other things. And then you, if you're still standing by sunrise, you go up to Chapel Hill and stumble up to Chapel Hill and sing at the sunrise, and then stumble back to your tent, sleep for a few hours until it's too hot, and then you go to the river during the day and hang out and rest, and then go back and do it all again.
That sounds awfully fun. 18 days, though. I suppose in Texas there must be some component of barbecue.
Not at the festival. I mean, you could buy barbecue, I guess, at some of the booths. But yeah, it's a lot of like camping. It's, you know, camping for 18 days.
Oh.
It's a lot of fun.
I bet. So for those 18 days, you hadn't ever played there. You just experienced it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the real music, I think. Although some might disagree, and I'll wait for my phone to start lighting up with this. But I think the best part of the festival is what happens not on the stages, but what happens around the campfires, and you know, the songwritings, you know, that happens during the day with other musicians and the friendships. And I think that's what makes that festival so special.
And I'm sure what happens in Kerrville stays in Kerrville too.
Yeah, there is an element of Vegas there. Yeah.
Thank you for playing with me. I appreciate it. All right, so listen, also in 2006, the year later, you went and you released an album called Spotlight.
Oh, that's right, yep. That was my first one done at different smaller studios around the Boston area.
So you were, so because you were splitting your, you pretty much were here, but you just went there for the festival.
Yes, correct.
Yep. So was Spotlight, was your first one. Did it come from some influences that you learned from the festival? Or did you have friends up here that you were already talking to about doing an album? Because to me, doing an album, especially a first one, is just such a milestone.
You know, it's funny. It was kind of, I was just starting to play. I was doing I met so many people doing different open mics that a lot of people were like, hey, I've got this studio. Why don't you come in? Your voice is great.
And I see.
Like, you know, I'm 17, 18, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'd go in and record these songs. It's just guitar and vocals, nothing, mm-hmm. you know, I say nothing special. But
back then, were you doing the double capo?
No, I wasn't. That was a little later, 2007.
You notice my gesticulating. Nobody can see it. But I have two fingers like a double capo. I don't know why I do things like that. Anyway, go ahead.
So, yeah, that was the first album. And if you ask me the name of the studios now, I apologize.
It's 2006. I mean, so as you sit here now, what are your? I know that if I were to say, do you think that your music and your whatever has changed since then? Yes, of course.
Of course.
But
yeah.
What do you? How do you feel about that first album? Do you feel it still represents you well? You're glad that it came out the way it did, or?
Of course, I'm glad. I'm totally glad at how it came out. I mean, that was the first one.
That's good.
You know, I'm still figuring out. I mean, this was around the same time of like, oh, I can play music. Like, I can do that for a living. So there's just a lot of joy in that and learning.
All right. So then we jump ahead to like 2008 and Texas is back, really, but Austin, about 100 miles from Kerryville.
Yep.
So Austin, why Austin? I know, again, your dad, but why Austin? What happened there? I know it's a real music. Yeah. So that was the attraction?
So after the Kerrville Folk Festival, we would spend a week in Austin hanging out, going to different shows, playing music, basically continuing the party. And I'm a morning person, which can be difficult as a musician.
Well, good for you. Enjoy that.
Yeah. And but I would go out and explore the city during the day, and I was like, oh, man, I like this place. And I just needed it. I knew I was going to need a change after college, and I thought, all right, Austin's it. In 2008, I packed up everything I had from my house that was literally two blocks from here.
Yeah.
On Powderhouse Circle. And
Laura Lee, this is your life.
And yeah, I drove cross country and moved to Austin.
Just all by yourself, just piled in the car and went.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, so. Okay. And while you were there, you did get something done in 2009. You know, there was another album.
Yeah.
A Little Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was that. That's when you started seeing the double capo.
Okay.
There's some ukulele, I think, in that one, and definitely a little bit more expressive in my playing and writing.
Okay, so you just answered my next question, which is, you know, if you were to compare the two albums you had done so far, and that's pretty good. I mean, just 2 years between them, so you were in it.
Yeah.
You know, if you start releasing albums every 2 years, you're in it. So you're pretty happy. So you pretty much took a listen to what you did and said, all right. And the double capo idea, I just have to harp on that a little bit. Not that harp is a guitar or anything. See how clever I am? But how did that, did you see somebody doing that? Or that was just your idea? I haven't heard of that before.
No, I think I remember seeing a songwriter, Raina Rose.
Yeah.
She she's from, I met her at the Kerrville Folk Festival. I think she was living in Portland, Oregon at the time. And I remember seeing it. Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm going to have to play with that. And
it probably is pretty done pretty often. I just don't know about it, but that's pretty cool. and then you did something that is pretty incredible. In 2010, there was a tour of the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
How extensive was it?
It was,
yeah, that's right.
I'm like a goldfish. Yeah. It's terrible.
Oh, God.
We started in San Francisco and then went north. It was with Chris Pereira, and I think we played with the Shook Twins for a stretch of it, and went north all the way to Portland and Seattle, and it was so much fun.
How long did that last?
2 weeks.
And you guys, somebody had contacts and you were able to book it? And
yeah, Chris, I have to say, did a majority of the legwork because he was from the West Coast. He lived in the Humboldt County area. And so, you know, we did radio and shows and
So that's a lot different from when you said you played as a senior in high school to lots of people and you were just kind of freaky. But this is great experience you're talking about as far as playing live.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. What are the three most important things that you can glean from that experience?
The tour itself?
Yeah. The tour, playing, the whole experience. Because here you are back now. You're back in music.
I mean, yeah.
You took a little break and here you are.
I did. Yeah. So, I mean, one thing I tell myself continually is don't ever stop doing it. If that's what you're kind of asking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But give me a little bit more about, I'm sorry, maybe my coffee hasn't fully kicked in, but
no, I mean, I'm just wondering, like, it's quite an experience, at least for me, who doesn't do that kind of thing, to be able to plan and book and go on a tour, you know, all the way from San Francisco up the coast, booking the shows, doing that. You hadn't had a lot of experience, right? Because Caravelle was all as a, it wasn't a participant, it was just going to the show. So you probably, like, you know, learned, you honed your skills. You said you started doing the double cable thing. How long did you split the set with the folks you were traveling with?
Yeah. So Chris and I, we did a number of different things depending on the show. Either we just song swapped, we would back each other up on stuff.
Just was a great learning experience, I would think.
Yes. I mean, there's a whole other element, too, of just, like, learning how to be on the road with someone without wanting to murder them is also an important life skill.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
When you're
trapped. I put the handcuffs down, I won't need them.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's so many things about being a musician and going on tour, or just being, you know, from the marketing to the writing, the emails, there's so much.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess where I was going was that solidified just the fact that this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Because in 2021, back to the Northeast you went.
Yeah.
And as we sit here now, there's a new EP that you're working on.
Yes.
Oh, you just lit up.
I know, it's so exciting.
Oh, you love this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just in the studio the last...
That was awesome.
I know, I'm like turning red,
yes,
I'm so excited.
Yes,
yeah. Yep.
All right, so we're going to hear one of those songs. We'll probably end on the new one, just let's keep going with this. Like, this album means so much to you.
It does.
And, yep. And how is it... I don't know how far along you are with it, but compared to the other two, you've got a little bit of time there from 2008 to now. That's quite a while.
Yeah.
So you must have... It must be a lot different. I mean, your approach, the sound, I mean... What do you think?
It is a lot different. I went through a whole dry spell. I realized that Boston was kind of actually my muse. I seemed to write really well back home, back here.
Yeah.
So the writing is very, it's actually very similar to the last album. The sound is different. I've been listening to a lot of different styles. Lake Street Dive is actually like my new favorite band.
Hell of a vocalist there, yeah.
Oh my goodness. So pulling a lot of inspiration from that style.
I mean, I've got a couple influences here, like Regina Spektor, yep. Sarah Bareilles, Norah Jones. And I even have a little note there that your musical preferences over time expanded, like to jazz and big band styles.
Yep.
Sinatra, Nina Simone, Ella Fitzgerald, Rosemary Clooney. I mean, those are all... You know, for music lovers, those are all like,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, the new album or the new EP is, I just wanted to do something bigger than I've done before. So being at Plaid Dog recording studio over in Waltham has just been such an amazing experience. And the producer, Mike Davidson, is is a magician. Like, watching him work is just unbelievable. And the musicians, the studio session players that have been coming in are unbelievable. The talent.
So he produced the whole thing. He's got the musicians. You didn't...
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of step away and see what magic someone else could work. I mean, obviously, I have a say, and I kind of can give the nod. But it's great. Anything I think... I let Mike kind of... keep working, even if I don't like something. I'm like, because the way it morphs can just, like, give it 5 minutes.
In other words, he's got a plan. You just want to see what it is.
Exactly. So the songs that we've been working on the last couple days, if you're on Instagram, you can check out the videos in my story.
Yeah, you do a lot on socials.
Yeah, I try. It's that's a full-time job. Whew.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah,
I see him. And why don't we give your social address?
Oh yeah, on Instagram it's Music by Laura Lee, LauraLee. On Facebook, you can do facebook.com/musicbylauralee. There are two Facebook pages for the page. One of them is no longer mine.
I remember that happened to you.
I got hacked, and so the one with more followers is actually not the one you want to follow, unfortunately. Or if you're just confused, go to musicbylauralee.com and you can find everything there.
That's what I did.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, so before we get to the new music that's coming out, and we've got one that's recorded and a couple that maybe you'll play. You had promised me you'd play something that's from those sessions live. So we'll get to that.
Okay.
All right, I will hold you to that. All right, so let's just step back in time a little bit. You identified a couple of tracks from the past that we're going to play. I'll ask you about both of them. The first one was the first one that I heard. And by the way that I found you with my friend Mike Stewart was playing on a porch.
Yep.
You know, I think it was Medford Porch Fest?
Malden Porch Fest.
I was so close. They're right next to each other. Come on.
Both M's.
We were just sort of like, you know, because there is something about you.
Thank you.
You know, it's the quality of the songs, but I mean, it's just the voice is just that's what Mike and I sort of look for or listen for, more appropriately. But we heard duct tape and a hammer on a porch, and that's the one that I first played. I think probably the next week because I was so psyched. Talk about duct tape and a hammer.
That was written about a friend of mine, and. Yeah, he had been through an awful, awful breakup, so to speak. And there's some artistic license with that song. But, you know, I have a tendency of wanting to fix people and particularly men.
We'll talk.
Yeah. how much do you charge for the therapy
session?
We'll
wait till the mics are off.
And so that was kind of what that song was about. I think everybody hears the duct tape and hammer part and thinks I'm wanting to hurt somebody, but it's actually about putting something back together.
Why would they think that? Okay. But this was nothing about a wall or breaking down or nothing
that. No.
Okay, that was before. So that was duct tape. And Left Behind.
That's actually not my song. It's written by Frankie Hernandez. He's out on the West Coast. A friend of Chris that I went on tour with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, we had kind of, I don't know if you've got the band, the multi-instrumental version or just the solo version, but it'd be a fun surprise. Chris and I did a cover of that song on his album back in 2009-ish, 10. And then we actually got to perform that song with Frankie on the West Coast, and Frankie played the trumpet, which was really fun. That's a good song. I like it.
Okay. But we still don't know which version we're going to hear. We'll find out.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right. I'll press play on that one second, and it'll start with Duct Tape and a Hammer. You guys, you're going to love this. This is Laura Lee and Duct Tape and a Hammer, to be followed up by Left Behind. And we'll be back afterwards, and Laura will play live at that time. This is WMFO.
You still scream her name in your sleep. You toss and you turn, and you steal the covers away from me. And I know she broke your heart, but if you leave me in the cold much longer, we won't go. No, we won't go. We won't go too far. And I flew 3,000 miles just to rest my head on your shoulder. But once the sun set, I didn't quite expect you to still be sleep-talking, girl. And it tears me apart what she did to you. And I would like to put you back to together. There's nothing a roll of duct tape and a hammer couldn't fix, couldn't mend. So here I stand, barefoot in your kitchen again. Let me love you, let me please you, let me treat you better than brand new. And you still scream her name in your sleep. You toss and you turn and you steal the covers away from me. And she broke your little heart, but if you leave me here in the cold much longer, well, we won't go. No, we won't go. We won't go too far. And rumor has it you bought her ring, and now I know you'll think twice before your next purchase of diamonds, gold, and jewelry. And I will be your lover, baby, I'll be your friend. I'll treat you better than her, and I won't leave you, no, I won't leave you all alone in the end. So here I stand, barefoot in your kitchen again. Let me love you, let me please you, let me treat you better than brand new. Away from me, and I know she broke your little heart, but if you leave me here in the cold much longer, well, we won't go. No, we won't go. We won't go too far.
Again, you said this is love.
now on. What are you defending yourself for?
It's WMFO. Can I applaud for recorded stuff? I can't because I'm doing it. See, there's really nice, clear production on there, Laura, and it does show off, just because it's you and a guitar, which I love, it just shows up your staccato style and the powerful way that you accompany yourself. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool. So you've got a guitar, so you might as well play, I guess.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. So one of the songs you want
to
do, I know this one as well, it's called Songbird. That's the first one you do. Please tell us a little bit about that and then hop right in.
Okay. Yeah, this was actually one of the first songs I wrote when I moved to Boston for college. It's just kind of one of the go-to favorites of mine and a lot of folks. Captain, if you're listening. It was about a friend of mine who was dating a college roommate, and after they broke up, he kept sleeping on our couch. And we play music.
And he was the proverbial songbird?
I was the songbird.
Oh, right, of course.
He's the perch. So.
All right. This is Laura Lee live in Studio A. Everybody, this is Songbird.
Right. I can sit on your shoulder. You can be my perch, and I can sing you a song that I hope you can sing to the world. I can be your little songbird. When you wake up in the morning, before you've had your first cup of coffee, before you've lit your first cigarette of the day, I can be the soundtrack to your morning and to the evening when you go to bed. Songbird. When you step out my front door, lighting your fifth cigarette of the day, you're walking down the street, you're stepping on to the train, you've got the whole world to greet. I can sing you a song that I hope you can sing to the world. And I can be your little songbird. When you get home at the end of the day, you're tired and you're weary, putting out your last cigarette as the sun is setting, you're crawling in to bed. I'll sing you a lullaby into the morning light, and I will sing softly but still can be heard, and I can be your little songbird. And I can sit on your shoulder, and baby, 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 you can be my perch. And I can sing you a song that I hope you can sing to the world, and I can be your, I can be your, I can be your little songbird, your songbird. And I can be your little songbird.
Wow. Boy, that was nice.
Thank you.
That's Laura Lee here at WMFO Live. That was Songbird. Let me tell you just a couple of things. She is currently wrapping up a new EP. There's a bunch of shows coming up. You can find them all on her website, musicbylauralee.com. But we do want to highlight one on May 18th at the Bar, and this is a big deal. It's going to be with a full band. You haven't done that in 15 years.
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty good. So May 18th.
So
are tickets on sale there already?
Yes. Yeah. You can...
And buy them online.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, you can go to my website and the link is there, or it's plastered all over my social media.
All right.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Really talented folks.
Yeah, I definitely want to try to make that one. That'll be really nice. All right, so you're going to do another one that's new.
Ain't Going Down Easy.
I was close. Yeah. Ain't Going Down Easy.
Yeah, I've had a lot of health stuff the last decade, and... So this is kind of about not letting it get you down. We all have our battles and our burdens, our sorrow, our hurting. Despite the show, you never know what someone else is going through. Behind my smile, I've held the weight of the world on my shoulder a time or two. Like my mama said, take it one day at a time, one step, one left, one right. Well, mama, I ain't going down easy. No, no, I ain't going down without a fight. I'm gonna come on top, as long as I've got you by my side, my side. So don't forget the weight of the world on your shoulder. The same way that same world can be your very oyster. So don't slow down, don't give up. Stopping's not an option. I'd rather go out screaming than without making a sound. Like my mama said, take it one day at a time, one step, one left, one right. Well, mama, going down without a fight. I'm gonna come out on top, as long as I've got you by my side, my side. Mama, I ain't going down without a fight. I'm gonna come out on top, as long as I've got you by my side, my side.
You know, man, you're just giving me, honestly, you're giving me good. I mean, the air conditioner is making it really cold in here, but I'm liking, I love music. And I love seeing people that love music do what they do. And that was just fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, I hear the Ricky Lee Jones.
Thank you.
You know, I hear the Nora Jones. Yep. Are they all named Jones? I don't know.
Right.
But let me just tell you, another DJ friend of ours, Michael Galper, said, been listening. You know, Laura Lee sounds a lot like Ricky Lee Jones. That's definitely a compliment. Tom Ruprecht says, Laura's amazing. Thanks so much for having her on the show. You're making your mark here.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
for
you.
Sure.
Thanks,
so.
Guys.
At 10:52 in the morning, we have time for maybe two more. We'll see. What do you think? You want to do one more and then we'll do the single?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I can play another one.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Karen. I've got my personal Facebook streaming live. And thanks, Karen. Thanks for listening.
Yay. Is that the song? That was
great. That's it. And that's a wrap.
Fantastic.
Did you have a request out of, I guess, oh, you know what?
Well, up to you.
All right, I'll do one of my, I'll do one of my favorites. It's not a traditional song in the sense of writing, but I love playing it, and I'll be playing it with the band, an actual horn player, on May 18th at the Burren. So,
okay, and what is it called?
This is called Old Stories.
All right. Wonderful. Okay, Laura Lee has been my guest. May 18th at the Bar Inn, along with some other shows leading up to that. First one with a full band in a long time. Your new EP is coming out. Let's go out with this this new song.
Yes.
It's Definitely You. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll have you play that, and then we'll talk to Kirsten for something about the women.
All right.
All cool. Right, this is called It's Definitely You, brand new EP. Laura Lee on WMFO. No, you're playing it live. Am I playing?
I'm playing it live.
I don't know. Am I doing it here? I was like all set that I was all ready.
Oh, no, I can
Did
play
I have it
live.
I can do it. Oh, I do have it. Would you rather play it live?
Oh, no, play the single. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
I just love hearing all the magic behind it. It's just, it doesn't get old.
All right, here it is. This is called It's Definitely You. It's Laura Lee. Good planning as always. Yeah.
Yeah. I choose my words like I choose my clothes. Always fashion forward,
with a whole lot of wit but never too crass. Always appropriate, ever stylish, with a touch of class. But it seems you've misheard.